think many of you know I like the ideas around craft. I find that a helpful analogy to the work of the heart. So the craft of the heart is a nice idea for me. And I was just thinking about like an admonishment I was talking about last night. When I admonish someone or just bark at them from annoyance and it just comes out of me, that's not much of a craft. That's just a habit. But then if I go back to my kuti and think, ah, oh, you blew it again, that's not much of a craft either. That's just habit. And so to take the challenge, say, of right speech and knowing one's emotions, and see, like, impulsivity. I know for me, when I have an impulsive no in me sometimes. If someone asks me one too many questions, no! Leave me alone, damn it. And it works, but it never gives a good result in my mind. Sometimes I'm just tired or whatever. So then, and then I can go back to my kuti and just get down on myself, but that's actually the same habit. It's just another compulsive, impulsive habit. So then to see some kind of patterning like that, I'd say, okay, that's the craft. That particular habit is what I'm going to work on. So then I make intentions to, first of all, well, many things, but intentions to try, obviously, to be mindful of the uprising of strong moods or strong reactions. And just that intention is different than hating myself for these things. Hating myself for these things actually is another form of aversion and just creates more aversion. Whereas mindfulness to say, okay, that was unskillful, let's see if I can be aware of the uprising, that's a skillful intention for me. And that's coming from discernment and wisdom and hopefully compassion. So right intention in trying to be mindful is coming from the discernment of where I lose the plot, you know, where I'm not mindful. And it's more like a challenge rather than a judgment. You know, when I judge myself, oh, you know, there you go again, that kind of thing, that's very unkind and it doesn't really develop my mind or my heart. But when I see, okay, there are these particular habits that overwhelm awareness, I'm really going to have a go at developing the heart so it's not so reactive. And that's a kind of interesting challenge. It's like having a difficult piece of wood that I have to use the router on or something like that. So there's that. And then what is the result of having said something unskillful? Is the result is very yucky. You know, it's very unpleasant in the mind. And the way we avoid that unpleasantness is by hating ourselves. Because self-hatred is a dilution, I think, of the intensity of that feeling. So it's actually, I think, for me, it's a kind of way of avoiding the real gut feeling of having hurt someone, say, if it's extreme. So if I can say, no, don't go to thought, go to the heart, that's hard because it's so unpleasant. So it feels more pleasant to beat myself up than to actually feel the karmic result where this is condition that arises when there's this, there's that. But if I do the other, I just encourage myself, no, what's the mood of the mind? And it's not pleasant. And then I say, okay, when you do this, this is what you're going to get. With this, there is that. Conditionality, karma. With this, there is that. With this kind of speech, this is the result. Alienation or self-disparagement to whatever. And then from that result, I said, I really don't want to go there again. I don't want to be reborn into that mindset. I say to myself, then I make an intention. Next time that impulse arises, I'll try to be more mindful. Rather than, I'm never going to do that again, which we all know doesn't work. So I'm going to try to be mindful of the impulse is different than an egotistical demand that I'm wrong and this is wrong. It's more like mindfulness of the flow of consciousness. And then that becomes a craft. You know, you kind of, well, there it goes, and don't say anything, or it blurts out, and then you go home, go back to the kuti and, no, not self-disparagement. What's it like now? What's the mood of the mind? And then maybe I say, may I be free from this kind of suffering? So you're putting compassion into the heart. But just the whole idea of taking on these things that get us very much attached with the khandhas, taking them on as your challenging craft, as the woodwork experiment you have to do, the building of a bird box or whatever image you like, then it becomes meaningful rather than just, oh, I'm hopeless, I'm not getting anywhere in my practice, which is just the same kind of wrong view, wrong understanding. And all of us have these impulses. All of us suffer from these kinds of things. And I think we're all, because we're here, we're very sincere to try to work it out. But I think the secret is, rather than just self-disparagement, this awakening to cause and effect, feeling that, registering that, with this there is that, with this there is that. Because if you really feel the pain and allow it to register deep in you, you're going to be more cautious next time. Whereas if I just kind of like hate myself, then that hatred becomes a stronger factor in my mind. And I hate someone else. It just goes back and forth. So that's on the giving end. On the receiving end, if I can't take a hit every now and then, I'm such a withering little flower. Ooh, you know, you've deeply wounded me. You looked at me the wrong way, right? You looked at me cross-eyed. We need a meeting. We need to have, you know, that to me seems also not right, that I haven't got enough oomph to, you know, to take a hit every now and then. And then I, you know, take a hit and then I hold it for next 5 years. That person looked cross-eyed at me. It's not fair. It's not right. And then I tell other people about that and so on and so forth. That's also just a reactive response. So maybe I'm a very sensitive person and someone calls me a turkey and I say, no, I'm not. No, you can't say that to me. And then I go back to my kuti and they couldn't say that to me. They said that to me. That's the same patterning, isn't it? It's the same unskillfulness. And then just to say, oh, I love them, that doesn't work either. But to go to the feeling of being hurt, right? The feeling of being injured, hold that, that's harder. So the thought always avoids the intensity of emotion. Thought always dilutes the intensity of reaction, result. So feel the result of having got hurt by someone, say, I don't even know their perception, but I know that that wasn't the feeling here. Then what's the obvious solution? Forgiveness. That's the only way out. Right? Not because it would be, you know, it's some kind of nice, you know, to be a good boy, you have to forgive. More deeply than that, forgiveness gets you out of the khandhas and lays a foundation for realizing nibbana. It's much more deeper than just being a nice guy. You end up being a nice guy or gal. That's a corollary, but that's not the point of it. It's just that holding on to stuff means that that's the land you live in, the land of stuff. And we want to be unfurnished. It's a very minimalist teaching, very minimalist practice. So forgiveness, and then if you then combine those two, if you think, you know, if you blow it, right, and you say something harsh to someone, say, yeah, everyone who says something harsh, who has some sense of the path, feels this remorse. You open the heart to compassion, and you forgive yourself. Well, may I be forgiven for this. And that keeps releasing all this accumulated stuff that we hold on to. And it is a craft. It doesn't happen overnight. I mean, we do get overwhelmed. And considering, who was it? I was just reading someone who said, considering, I think Wendell Berry, considering human circumstance and human character, what's the obvious choice? And that's forgiveness. You think about the times, you know, if I think about the times I've usually, you know, said something nasty to someone, it's usually because I'm exhausted, I'm just lost in my own confusion. Same with others. So having that sense that none of us are perfect, all of us are working out our karma in some way, releases our attachment to expecting perfecting from people. So rather than kind of hold on to some image of a person because of one little thing they did 10 years ago, which we can do very, very easily. So this sense of forgiveness and responsibility for cause and effect, intention of trying to be aware, that's craft. Development of character, development of barami, it's a craft. And it does becomes an interesting challenge. So like when I blurt something out in an ill, unconsidered way, I just blurted out, I said, beat me again. Darn, I got, you know. And I say, okay, I'll just try harder. So it's more like, Mara beat me in a crap game, but I'm gonna have a go at this a second time. So it has more, you know, it's not loaded with this awful self-criticism, this tyranny of self-judgment that we can have all the time. It's loaded with kindness and so on. So, in terms of what you might do when you leave this retreat, you do the same thing, the craft of the heart. Just use it all. Use it all. Just become a better person. But that's not the goal. That's the method. Better person in the sense of being more patient, more kind. Because then that, you know, if you think about those times that, if I think about the times where I haven't had to compete with this damn tent raining. Starting to yell. When I haven't reacted impulsively to a tendency to react impulsively, you know, when I've seen that in my heart and I've bared witness to it and not gone there and waited and let the heart settle into compassion and then something appropriate, that's a great one. You know, that's like scoring a touchdown in the spiritual life. But the result, it's not just that, but the result is there is no echo afterwards. There isn't a kind of two-day echo in the mind of that experience. I've let it go, I burned it out, it's gone. And my mind is available again to the unconditioned. But if those kinds of things keep trapping me, then my mind's always filled with this history. The history of having, you know, having kind of lost the plot. So once again, the competition with the sound is defeating me. So I'd like to just thank you for especially the everyone who's involved in organizing the retreat, the bhikkhus and Samanera, Anagarika, Saku. They've been very, very helpful and delightful friends. And to everyone in the kitchen and organizing things and helping and coming on a retreat. So, My great appreciation. I find that teaching is a way of me understanding the Dhamma. Because my first teacher said, if you can't write it out, you probably don't know what you're talking about. But he was a writer, he was a journalist. I think for me, if I can't explain it, I don't know it. And so if you ever have a chance to have to explain the Dhamma, go for it. Because then you'll see if you know it or not. Rather than, I can't teach. Yeah, you can. You know something. But to explain it, you have to go back into your own mind and say, well, what do I know? You know, what do I understand? And then that causes you to reflect and the discernment gets stronger and the insight gets stronger.